Got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27 is where we'll be this morning with the help of the Lord. We'll be breaking in about the 22nd verse this morning. With His help, we want to preach a message that God has put on our heart over a week ago. Last Sunday evening we were here and God spoke this message to me, and I hope that it'll help you today. Good to see all of our visitors in the house. If you're visiting for the first time, you'll never be a visitor again. We just call you family after that. We just want you to come back and be with us, and we sure appreciate you being here today. Good to see a lot of young people here today. I love our young people. They are our church of tomorrow. Can I hear from the young people? Amen? All right. Amen, brother. Appreciate our young people and what they do here at the church. And we like to get them involved and have them a part of the service. Matters of fact, we got a special treat for all the little ones before they leave today. So you can anticipate on that as we get ready to preach. Got you something today for Easter. But Matthew 27, let's all stand. Let's break in at the 22nd verse and read what thus saith the Word of God. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but he rather a tumult was made, and he took the water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Let us pray. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds, Lord, for this message that you have put together today. Lord, it's your message, not mine. And if there's any preaching done, it'll be because of you and not me. Lord, send the preacher. We'll provide the vessel. God, speak to us today. Speak to every heart in this building. God, may they be attentive to your word today. But we'll love you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' precious holy name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. And he said to bring a tumult before, and he washed his hands, and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Here we see Jesus standing before Pilate's judgment here in the great hall. And all the people just a week ago were crying out, Hi, Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest! And they were praising and waving palm leaves and rejoicing. And it only takes a week for somebody to turn on you. Amen? It only takes a day, really, for somebody to turn on you. It only takes a moment for somebody to turn on you. Can I get a witness? Only about half of you has been through it. Hold on, it'll happen to you before too long. Here we see that these people have turned against Jesus and they're crying out, Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Wonder what happened to them. Wonder why they've come into this place. I want to preach a message today, if it be the help of the Lord, from the cross to the grave to a crown. From the cross to the grave to a crown. You may be thinking here this morning that I've heard all this before. What's different about all of that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to break it in on you this morning and try to help you understand what thus saith the Word of God. It's perfect from cover to cover. And here we see in this chapter, Christ is standing in the judgment hall and He's getting ready to pay a great price. There's a few things that you need to know, so I want to take you on a journey to the cross of Calvary. I want to try to help you understand what has went on so that you could be here this morning. It's not by coincidence that you're here. It's not by coincidence that we have a church house and a sanctuary. It's not by coincidence that we celebrate Easter. It's not by coincidence. It's by the risen Savior is why we do this morning. It's because of what He did for you and I is the reason we have come together. So let me take you on a journey to the cross of Calvary. We see here that He's standing in Pilate's hall and He's being judged and He's getting ready to be sentenced. And before there can be a sentence, you got to realize they've got to be bloodshed. Here the Romans, they were great torturers and they loved to torture people. And when people broke the law, the Roman laws, they would put them to death. And their way to do it was by crucifixion. You don't hear that no more. They don't have such a thing anymore. They have lethal injections now when people break the law and do bad things and tremendous things that kill people and do all these bad things. They have lethal injection. They take them into an air-conditioning room and lay them down on a padded bed and strap them down and slowly feed in the toxic poison to end their life and to stop their heart. You think about that. Even criminals that do all these great and massive murders and things that we hear of that are so terrible, they get to die an easy way. I don't know if y'all thought about that or not, but you think about that. And even those, there's still people likes to stand and watch people die. And those that have been victimed by this person, they get to sit behind a glass and watch as they take this person's life and they slowly slip out of this life into eternity. Even the criminals nowadays haven't got it easy. I'm going to go right on where the Holy Spirit's leading me. Even when you commit crimes today and they arrest you, they'll take you to a jailhouse and where it's air conditioned and you're not out in the weather and you get 3 meals a day and you get a nice cot to sleep on and you got a little cell and you don't have to really do anything. Go out and work a little while during the day, but you get to go sit in a cell and just have a life of ease. Lift weights and watch TV and have a life of Riley. That's the life of a criminal. I know I'm getting home right now, but listen to me just a minute. This is where we have come as a nation, that we reward those that do wrong. And we're keeping these men up, and they're in these jailhouses, and they're just back in their life of ease. They'll come out in society, and they can't stay out but a week or two, and they want to go right back. Why? Because you got to do something when you're out here. You got to work and provide what the Bible says. If you won't work and provide, the Bible says, you're worse than an infidel. I know it's getting hard, but I'm following God this morning. That ain't an Easter message. It is what God's given me. We'll keep these criminals up and we'll support them. And even when he comes down to time of dying, we make it as easy for him as it can be. But let me take you to the cross of Calvary. We see a Savior here that has come before Pilate, the king here, and he put him to judgment. And he's done nothing. He's not guilty of anything but of love. Love for you and I is all he's guilty of. And no, they're not going to take him behind the glass and into a padded room or a padded seat and inject him and let him slowly die. No, the Romans, they get great pleasure out of torture. They get great pleasure out of causing as much suffering as they can cause. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's raised people from the dead. He's given the sight back to the blind. He's done great and mighty things. All he's done is love people, and they want to kill him for it. The preachers are preaching the gospel today. They're telling people to live right, to trust God, live holy before God. Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Please live right, honor him, love him, and people hate him for it. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach the gospel. I don't care if they lock me up for it. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you the truth this morning why Jesus loves you. He loves you this morning. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Can I hear from you this morning? So here we see an innocent man standing in the judgment hall. And then Pilate asks the people, "What has this man done?" And all they can say is, "Crucified. Crucify." So Pilate has the pan brought and he washes his hands in the pan and he thinks that makes him right. But I'll tell you what, he was washing his hands in blood is what he was washing it in. He was guilty of the blood of Christ. He was sending Christ to the cross of Calvary.
But he didn't realize he was fulfilling the Father's plan. Even when he was washing his hands, he was fulfilling the Father's plan. God had a plan. Jesus had to come and pay a price. And Pilate just happened to be the one to play the role. So here we see that Jesus is there and he's getting ready to be sentenced. And Pilate's begging him. And they say, crucify him. He says, go ye to it. You all do it. I'm innocent of this blood. So they send Jesus out to be scourged, to be whipped and beat by the Roman soldiers. You can read over in Deuteronomy there. It tells us in chapter 25 in verse 3 that under the Mosaic law, there was a law put in place by those that were made guilty of the law, and they would scourge them by whipping them with 39 stripes save one. They wouldn't whip them 40 stripes because that 40th stripe normally would kill them. So they said, let's whip them, give them 39 stripes. So they sent Jesus out. Pilate sent him out to be scourged to receive those 39 stripes. Here you've got a bunch of godless, heartless Roman soldiers. They're excited. They've heard about this man claiming to be the king of the Jews, and they're going to teach him a lesson. They love to shed blood. They love to kill people. So they took him out into the common hall there, and the Bible says that they chained him down and they bound his hands. And I believe that they took, the Bible says, the cat of nine tails, and they whipped his back. And they whipped it over and over and over. And every time the whip came down, the Bible says it would pull out meat and blood from it, and it would break bone and everything else. Your Savior was knelt down there, and he was paying a price for your sin and my sin. Every lie you've ever told, every lie I've ever told, everything you've ever stole, everything I've ever done wrong, Christ was paying for it right then. And he knelt down there, and them Roman soldiers no doubt were laughing as they were beating the Savior, and they thought it was funny. They mocked him. They even took a scarlet robe and put up on him and took a crown of thorns and put it on his head. These are not the actual thorns, but they took those thorns and they drove them down on his head. Can you imagine those big old spikes coming down through the skin, down against the skull, and down inside and piercing around the head and the blood and the meat coming down? It was an awful price that he had to pay for you and I. But yet we'll stand back and smote ourselves on the chest and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'll do anything and everything I want to do. I don't have to live for him. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to go out this week and I'm going to live like a hellion all week long. Why? Because I'm saved. If you live like that, I doubt you've ever been born again. If you're truly born again, you'll live for God. Why? Because he paid an awful price that we could be called the children of God. He paid an awful price that I could claim to be a child of God. And as they drove the crowns down upon his head, they took a reed and smote him on the head. And they give it to him and put that robe upon him. They said, hail, King of the Jews! And spit on him and made fun of him. And took him from there and they put a cross upon him. He had to bear the cross up the hill. Can you imagine as he went through the street and he's dragging the cross through the street? I tell you what, he's beat half to death in different places you can study in the Roman history, how that they would beat him that day when the muscles and the blood would run down their backs and their fronts, and even at times their innards would even hang out where they beat him so bad. They put his clothes back up on him, and you know what? When you put material over an open wound, what does it do? It starts clotting immediately. So he's bleeding from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And they put the robe up on all that blood that's coming out. And they put the old rugged cross upon him. Now he's headed to Golgotha's hill, the place of the skull. And he's dragging this cross up Golgotha's hill. Why? Because he's got you on his mind. He says, they've got to have a way. So I've got to go. And I've got to pay this price. No doubt the devil's there saying, you can't do it. You can't do it. You ought to quit. You ought to quit right now. You're not strong enough. He said, yes, I am. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on paying the price. I've got to do it. Gary's got to have a way to heaven. Aaron's got to have a way to heaven. Vickers Chapel's got to have a way to heaven. I've got to go. And he went all the way up Golgotha's hill for you and I. And it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. It's says when they got to the top of the hill, they laid the rugged cross down. And Jesus, they didn't have to grab him and throw him down and force him down and hold him down. And four or five soldiers had to hold his arms down and put their legs on him to hold him down, to nail him to the cross. But he reached out that hand freely for you and I. I don't even believe they had asked for it. He laid down on the old rugged cross and he reached his hand out. Why? Because he had you on his mind. No doubt he knew it was going to hurt. He was as much man as he was God. He knows how everything felt. Just the way you feel right now, when you reach down and touch your hand and pinch your hand and you stomp your toe or you hurt yourself, as bad as that hurts, it hurt the Savior the same way. He's as much man as he was God. But yet he reached out his hand. And they took the spikes. I want you to think about this. The next time you think you can't live for God and you can't stand up for God, you can't give a testimony, you can't live right, the devil's tempting you to do all these things, I want you to think about this. He reached his hand out for them to drive a nail in his hands. When that nail went through his hands, it busted the tendons and the muscles and the bones and every ligament in his hand when that nail went through it. And you that are here that work in the medical field, you know what it's like when a nerve gets cut. I know what it's like. When you get a nerve cut, it'll about take your head off. I mean, it hurts so bad you can't hardly bear it. But can you imagine having a big old spike down through your hand? He did that for you. He did that for you this morning. And it wasn't just one hand, but he reached both hands out to represent how much he loves you. He loves you this much, church, that he'd reach both hands out. And then it didn't stop there. They nailed him through his feet, and they hung him up on a cross to an open shame, stripped him off naked, and he hung there, shameful before the whole world. He ain't like these pictures that we see where he's got a cloth on. He's got a few little drops of blood coming here, a little blood coming there. I believe if we would have known the Savior that day as a person, we wouldn't have recognized him on the cross. He was beat so bad. The Roman soldiers thought they'd really done something. They were proud of what they had done. But yet he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when I preach to you this morning, I look in your eyes and I can see in your eyes, let's get it over with. I can't wait till this sermon's over. I want to get out of here. I want to do this and I want to do this. But I'll tell you, one day after a while, we're going to stand before a holy God and we're going to look him right eye to eye. And when he looks at you and don't see his son's blood applied to your life, he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Right now, he's a God of love. But then he'll be a God of judgment. He's a God of love now, but a God of judgment then. Oh, I'd love to preach you a good soft love message this morning. But the cross ain't just a soft love message. It ain't a fairy tale. It's the real deal. There was a real price paid at the cross of Calvary for you and I, and we've taken it for granted. Here in 2018, they're pushing out the cross. They're pushing the tombs away. They're pushing true worship away. They're getting to hollow worship. They're getting into the worldly worship. They don't want God no more. They want it their way. He said in the last days they'd heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. You know what that means? Preaching what they want to hear. Preaching what they want to hear. Now, this day and time, you can go to any kind of church you want to go to. They got a biker church. They got a cowboy church. They got a liberal church. They got gay churches, lesbian churches, satanic churches. They got anything you're looking for. Devil's got anything you're looking for, he's got it. And the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. Can I preach to you this morning and tell you there's pleasure in sin for a season? I've been told all my life, if I get out and drink, I might die. If I get out and do drugs, I'll die. You won't die. First time, you're going to love it. First drink you have, you're going to love it. First pill you take, you're going to love it. You're going to love that high. That dope you smoke, you're going to love it. And you're going to stand back, and the devil's going to say, see, you didn't die. You're going to be like, wow, I didn't die. He's going to say, won't you do it again? And then when you go that second round, now you're hooked. The devil starts reeling you in. Because he's got your mind off of the cross. He's got your mind off the tomb. He's got your mind off the crown. He's got your eyes on him, and he's reeling you in. He's reeling you in. There's pleasure in sin for a while, but there's a payday coming. There's a payday coming, church. Why? God only sees one thing, and it better be blood covered. Blood covered. It better not look like this. It better be blood covered, because that's all he's looking for. Remember what happened in Egypt? He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Judgments are coming. When we're going to stand before him one day, he's going to look, and if he don't see the blood, he'll say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. The young and old alike will stand before God and give an account on that day. I know this morning it's hard. It's hard to hear it. But we don't have this kind of preaching no more. Preachers seem to be scared to death to preach about the cross and the blood that was shed and the price that was paid. There was a price paid on the cross for you and I. We think about that price. It has your name on it. It has your name on it. Why did God come? He came for you. Let's forget everybody else that's in here. Brother Chris, he came for you. You. If there was nobody else, he would have came just for you. He would have paid the price, Brother Chris, for you. Why? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves every cell of your body. He loves everything about you. And he made you perfect, brother. You're exactly what God wanted. When I look at you, I see God. This is what he wanted. You're exactly the person he wanted you to be. And I'm so thankful you're abiding in his calling and doing his work and following his will. But let's say that you didn't. He'd love you the same. And he'd give you that free choice to come. And if you choose not to serve God and die that way, it'll break his heart. But God will look right at you and say, you had no excuse. My son went and paid the ultimate price. You had a choice to make and you rejected it. Depart from me. That sounds awful harsh. Not for the price that's been paid. Not for the cost that's been paid. He paid a debt he didn't owe. He paid for it for you and I. If he would have been the only one. But he wasn't. There was more. And the blood is still running this morning. It's still flowing this morning. For you and I, that we could come to the cross of Calvary and we could give our lives to him. And when he died that day, I got to hurry on, but when he died that day, he said, Father, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he died. They didn't kill him. He freely gave it. When he bowed his head that day and died, I believe all of hell had a party. I believe they got happy and they thought they had won. They had beaten him. They had tricked everybody and got him to kill the Savior. And now he's dead. And we've won. But the story don't stop there. It don't stop there, thank the Lord. That's why we're here this morning to celebrate. And they took his body down and they laid him in Joseph's borrowed tomb. A borrowed tomb. He didn't even have a tomb of his own. They laid the Savior in a borrowed tomb. And he laid there for 3 days, and on that third morning, the Bible says he got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but I put a folded napkin in here. That represents something this morning. That represents something. You have to go back and read Jewish history about the Jewish boys. And they would serve their masters, and when their masters would eat, the way the Jewish boys would know that the master was done eating, he would take his cloth that he had over his lap and he would wipe his mouth and his hands and he would throw the napkin wadded up down on his plate. And the boy knew that the master was done. But If the master folded up his napkin and laid it to the side, that was to tell the servants, I'm coming again. Hallelujah! If you'll read the scriptures, he said the napkin that was over his face was neatly folded, representing I'm coming back one day after you and I. I'm telling you, he's coming again for those that are ready to meet him. He's coming again. That's why the napkin is folded, to tell you and I, I'm coming again. He's not coming back to get on the cross again. But he's coming back crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not coming back to be persecuted. He's not coming back to be scourged. He's coming back victorious over it all. And he's coming back after a church that's ready to meet him. He said, in the hour that you think not, so cometh the Son of Man. He's coming after those that are ready, those that are looking for his appearing. He said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Before you can even get up from your seat right now, he might call. And if he calls, we're out of here. I wonder if you'll go or not. I wonder if you've been truly born again. I'm telling you, the Savior is coming. He's coming. He said over, and I think it is in Thessalonians, that he's coming back. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain are going to be called up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a time that's going to be. I ain't never flew through the air without an airplane. But one day after a while, I'm going to take a flight that don't even have to have an airplane to get me there. And it'll be a good time. It'll be a one-way trip to this place that's called heaven. Why? Because of the price that was paid, the victory will be won. Now this may seem, I can't go into the details of it. I mean, we'd be here all day long. But I'm telling you this morning, this message, this service, hear me good, is being recorded in heaven right now. Every single person that's here has been recorded in heaven right now. In the next few moments, you're going to have to make a choice. And that choice is going to be wrote down upon this service in heaven. Really? Absolutely. Young, old, alike. Now you're trying to scare me. No, I'm just telling you the way it is. I have to give an account, and you'll give an account. When Jesus passes by, he leaves a mark that a man can never get over. And today, he wants you to know he's risen. He's coming back again. He's coming back victorious. This is what the crown represents, victory. He's won. The devil thought he had him, but he won. When they went down to the tomb that morning, they thought they was going down to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they got there, he was gone. I don't have to go to Jerusalem and see the tomb for myself and look in there and say, huh, he really is gone. I know he's gone this morning. It's in my heart. I know he's not there. He's in heaven. Making intercession for you and I. What's that mean? He's pleading our case every day, every day, every day. And he loves you this morning. At this time of the year, this season, we have a lot of CEOs that come to church. Y'all realize that? A lot of CEOs. Christmas, Easter only people. They only come Christmas, Easter only. They never come to church any other time. So I like to call them CEOs. I hope there's no CEOs here this morning. I've seen a lot of you before, some I've not seen before. I hope you go other places. I've been told that you do go other places. And we need to. We need to go to church. We need to have the fellowship of God's people. But we've got to know why. He paid this price for you. He paid this price for me. From the cross to the grave to a crown. I wonder today if the Lord was to come, where you'd be if he would come right now. I've been struggling all week with this message, and even this morning, God has changed my mind. It's like going around a curve. Because there's somebody here this morning. It's time to quit playing. It's time to get real. It's time to get real with God. That career you're after, those things you're trying to do, it'll never work out until you surrender to God. Does it really have all that to do with my life? It sure does. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you want a good home, live for God. If you want a good career, live for God. If you want a happy marriage, live for God. If you want children that honor God, live for God, and God will bless your life. You want to have the curse of God upon your life? Don't live for God. Don't go to church. Don't raise your children right. Live like a hellion all week long. Do it the way you want to do it. And I promise you, there'll be a price you'll have to pay. There'll be a price paid. Oh, we're living it up now. It's all good now. We like to go out and do this and do that and have a good time. I don't need church. I don't need God. I can do it my way. You will need Him one day. We got any nurses in here? Three in here. When it comes down to time of dying, and I won't say how many you've seen, but they're always crying out for God. Oh God, help me! They're screaming, they're crying, they're wanting God at that time. But that might be the time that God says, you didn't want me before, so you can't have me now. Would He really do that? Yes, He would really do that. You can't be saved anytime you want to. The Holy Spirit of God has to be dealing with your heart. Even this morning, if the Holy Spirit of God is not dealing with you to come, you need to keep your seat. Why would you say that to people? Because if He ain't dealing with you, don't come. But I'll tell you one thing. If He's dealing, I would jump over people. Because there's a real heaven to gain and a real hell to shun. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.